Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful Tuesday morning here at our Amherst studio. I'm sure across Buffalo, wherever you're listening as well. It's in June. I mean, I hope it's beautiful.
You say that, but like yesterday when we started the show, it wasn't terrible, and then it rained the entire day.
Oh, man.
So we're going to make sure of this. Yes, it's beautiful all around.
I will tell you about my adventures yesterday with the weather. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you are looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Mandatory minicamps for the Buffalo Bills do start today. They'll be running from today through Thursday. We are anticipating to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott at 11:45. We do hope to play as much of that as we can for you. We will be joined by Sal Capaccio in about 10 minutes as he gets ready to head down to One Bills Drive for today. Will James Cook be in attendance? That is the big story of the day. We have news on that. James Cook in attendance?
According to Adam Schefter, yes.
Schefty! With the report that he's not in and then the report that he is. That is something, real quick, so behind the scenes stuff. All morning, I have been watching all of the reports of, hey, this guy's not going to be in camp, this guy's not going to be in camp, what have you. And then Adam Schefter, 6 minutes ago, Bills running back James Cook, who has been seeking a new contract this offseason, is in attendance for today's mandatory minicamp. Why did it have to happen at 10:05?
Sunday, Adam Schefter, que pasa?
What happened? Well, so that's big news.
It's like it wasn't a story at all. I was right. I am going to be insufferable. I'm going to say words that I'm going to regret, so I'm not going to do that. Take it away, Zach.
What is a little frustrating, being in this business, that was like the one story. We talked with Sal Marana yesterday about it. Like, look, I'm going to be somebody that loves to see like Elijah Moore clips. I get it. But they're kind of non-factors a lot of the time. There really aren't any big stories. This was the one big story for the Bills. And thankfully, for the Bills' sake, there really doesn't seem to be a story. And I mentioned it through last week and to start this week too. To me now, this is a non-story. If he's here now, he certainly isn't missing training camp.
We're not worrying about this until February. All along.
Now, do you think they'll sign him in February, March?
Ready? Yesterday. Kicking and screaming, talking about it.
So there you go.
Didn't want to do it. And as promised, when I said this on Saturday, if anyone was listening, I'm sitting in the same chair, talking to the same microphone, and now I get to say it. I was right all along, not really all that strong when I can read the tea leaves of James Cook straight up saying, I don't want to be a distraction.
I really hope, though, that one report from the fan was like that.
Like, it's not hard for me to get that right.
I really want that fan to be right. That they're like, no, I saw him from the JFK airport. We were on the same flight to Buffalo.
Yes.
I want that to be so true.
I want that to be true because, like, it brings Lou Lamoriello walking in the Buffalo airport vibes.
So good.
What I really wanted, what I desperately wanted, was James Cook to be online enough to have been at Duff's yesterday.
It's chronically online.
If that would have, if he was at Duff's at all yesterday, I would have said extend him $15 million a season. Let's not blink twice.
Like
the man's online for the memes, and he understands the Buffalo sports meme of an ex player being at Duff's.
James Cook, quote unquote, gets it. There we go.
15 by 7. I don't care.
James Cook, though, in attendance for mandatory minicamp. We don't know yet if he'll be practicing. What is exciting, though, I mean, this also probably helps Bills head coach Sean McDermott. You knew the first question was going to be, is Cook in attendance?
Well, gosh.
Now you can sit there and go, all right, guys, yeah, you saw the report. He's in attendance. Now it's just going to be more if he participates or not. I am fine either way. If he doesn't participate, dude, I get it. You're looking for a new deal. Don't want to risk it. I fully understand. I have zero issues with
that. We're getting
a
pouring in, by the way, of more players not being there.
That's been the reports all day.
And again.
All day.
It's like James Cook was telling the truth. He wasn't going to be at the voluntary one, but he would be at the one that would cost him money. That's how these go. What's his participation? That's a question. That's a question we'd be willing to field.
803-0550, the number to call.
If you're concerned about that, but I guess my guess is if he's here, you're not concerned at all anymore. So yeah. For any of you that was panicking, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You get to breathe again.
I do want to give some credit as well to Sir of the Wagons podcast. I think Jeremy gave credit to them as well this morning.
They had it yesterday.
They were on this yesterday. So good on them for being on this.
I wanted to say something about it, and I'm like, I'm going to wait. Mostly because we want to make sure that we got everything there. But it was, here we go. And I believed it. But I don't want to go out over and ahead of myself. So, yeah, for anyone that had those concerns, though.
I just had a terrible thought. I'm sorry, I keep going.
What's so funny over there, Giggly Bits?
Could you imagine he shows up only to pull what Trey Hendrickson did with the Bengals, where he's like, no, I showed up to talk to the media about how disrespected I've been.
I showed up to say I'm
out. Could you imagine?
But also, the Bengals.
Well, yeah, uh-huh. Shamar Stewart, their rookie, who in a way is not
first-round pick.
But he's not being drafted to replace Trey Hendrickson, but there has been that feeling of like, he may be gone.
He may be the long-term replacement for Trey Hendrickson.
He is still not participating. He has still not signed his rookie contract, which I will point out, there are still some Bills rookies that have not signed their rookie deals yet. That's not too surprising. There are built-in protective fixes for them. If you get hurt, don't worry, you're fine. Like, we'll worry about this as we worry about it. It sounds like for the Bengals, it's much more along the lines of they're taking some of that stuff out. They're taking some of the language out. They're not being as like everybody else. The Bengals are in a tough spot. Hendrickson's not there. Shamar Stewart's in attendance. He's not participating. And you tell as well his agent is putting out there. It's because he still has not signed his deal for these reasons. And then, yesterday they released Jermaine Pratt, which every Bengals report I saw was, this is not surprising. What is surprising,
why is it so late?
Why is it, what was it yesterday, June 9th, and now he's being released?
The Bengals are bungling again, and now it actually makes it more impressive that they made a Super Bowl.
It does kind of, doesn't it?
It like, we've talked about and joked often of how do the Bengals get so much grace for making a Super Bowl one time?
Honestly, that might be it, is that everyone's like, it's the Bengals, really?
It's the Bengals and their ownership and their management style. Like, it's actually more impressive that they made a Super Bowl because their management styles and tactics are just not good.
Mm-hmm. Did mention it at the top of the show before we got the James Cook stuff, but some other players that are not in attendance. Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey for the Dolphins, not in attendance. We do, of course, as we mentioned, Trey Hendrickson and Shamar Stewart.
I will say, just to slow you down for a second, Jalen Ramsey was excused.
Okay.
John Smith is not.
Okay. Terry McLaurin, that one is very much not surprising. He is not in attendance. Did show up to OTAs, surprisingly left. And that's where we got some of the reports from NFL insider Jordan Schultz about how upset he's been looking to get a new deal. He is not a mandatory minicamp. And then as well with that, maybe a surprising one, quote unquote. Another pass rusher, though, T.J. Watt, 30 years old, final year of his contract. He's not at mandatory minicamp as well.
Ooh, baby. The Steelers have to play hardball with their best player, and quite frankly, the reason they always get two over 500.
He plays a big part into it. Absolutely.
It's not even a big part. He is their most valuable player. when he is out of their lineup, it is very much noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
When the Bills had to play the Steelers a couple years ago in the playoffs, do you know who wasn't there?
Yeah.
T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
You know what happened with the Steelers? They rolled over and died.
Now, on that, and actually, funny enough, with the Bills as well, there have been points, though, where T.J. Watt has been able to drag out essentially a hold-in with the Steelers and then signs his deal at the 11th hour and is able to play against the Bills opening day, a game that Pittsburgh Steelers actually do win. Quite surprising loss for the Bills to open the season back in, that had been 23? I think it's a 23 opener.
No, wait, when they lost to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, opening day.
I don't think that was 23.
I'm checking now.
Yeah, check your Bills Steelers. It might have been. I don't know. They all kind of blur together.
They do,
but I'm
don't
thinking
they?
About the
they
last. Do. I think the last time, though, that the Bills had the Steelers in the regular season, 22. It was the Gabe Davis 98-yard touchdown.
So maybe. Or yeah. It's 21.
That's what I thought. I knew it was longer ago.
21. That's right. It is not after 13 seconds. It's after the 2020 season.
Yes.
My apologies. Thank you. Yes, 21.
Yeah, I got you, man.
That was part of it as well. And that's actually the last deal he signed.
Yep.
Is that one where it's the 11th hour, all of a sudden, boom, he's here. Here's his big money. He's going
to
play.
The amount of times the Pittsburgh Steelers have entered a cheat code into a controller and then T.J. Watt did something to take the football away is more times than I can count.
Yeah.
And he has, quite honestly, saved that franchise from becoming a dumpster.
Yeah, star players will do that for you.
And the fact that he is sitting out, knowing full well this might be the last deal that he signs. He wants to be able to be a Steeler for life, for what I'm gathering on this.
Yeah,
you don't hold out otherwise. But there's a non-zero possibility that T.J. Watt is available next year. Holy
and at a
brother.
Position, and at a position that the dreaded age 30 isn't necessarily as scary. Pass rushers can often play into their mid-30s at a very high level.
And Watt has had injury concerns. But
he absolutely has. But it is still T.J. Watt. You feel really good about that.
And you take what he that chance.
Be. Yep. One that is also interesting, Terry McLaurin, we've mentioned him, especially when we were actually talking about James Cook and potentially not showing up. What's worse, not being at OTAs at all or leaving OTAs early. Well, now we see McLaurin is now sticking his fork in the road a little bit here. And also showing his displeasure, showing up to OTAs, leaving, and now not being at mandatory minicamp, that's big. And then for Cook as well, we'll see about what the actual participation is. I've mentioned it, though. I don't particularly care. If he's there, awesome, and working, even better. But
McLaurin makes sense because of the fact that, he left OTAs. He is displeased about the contract situation.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is turning into, this is what we got. I'm continuing on this path. We're going to have to deal with this.
Yep. Now on the Wester Hotline, he's sitting right next to me. Sal Capaccio joins the show here in our Wester.
On the Wester to my left, Sal Capaccio.
In our Just Call Jed studios.
Yes. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
I don't know if we've done this. We've done this a couple times maybe over the years, but I'm like, hey, practice a little later today.
Mm-hmm.
McDermott at 11:45. My guy had to come in for a few other things anyway. And figured I'd join you in studio, and then I realized there's a Snickers bar here that says, do not eat until the Bills win the Super Bowl. I have never seen that before.
It is definitely new. Okay.
And I have to ask, I think I left a coffee mug in here the other day, a nice Tervis tumbler. So Josh, if you happen to find it, let me know.
Right? I don't drink coffee, I'm out.
And it's all right. Okay, well, not you guys. Someone might I'll have to look around for it. Anyway, it's good to be here with you guys. And of course, I'll be heading right down to the stadium after this, and mandatory mini camp scheduled to begin at 12:30. We will hear from Sean McDermott at 11:45 a.m.
So I got to ask you, because I know you've been walking around the studios. Have you seen the news for the Bills that's come down in the last 15 minutes?
I have not.
James Cook is in attendance at mandatory minicamp.
Okay. Say, I've been in meetings, and I did not see that. I had my phone off. Thank you very much. I'm looking. He is there. The question is,
how involved?
How involved will he be?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know that for sure.
We don't know that for sure. Well, I mean, we'll even see if we get any update on that from Sean McDermott. I could absolutely see him being like, well, we'll see when we get out there.
Yep.
And that being it. I will say, though, personally for me, I mentioned it yesterday, him being here is it for me. If he participates, great, awesome. We really don't need to talk about this till March. If he's here but not participating, okay. It also makes sense to me. I don't see any necessarily issue with that, especially when I'm seeing around the league a lot of guys not in attendance.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree with you. Like, I thought about this today, which is James Cook has been kind of the story around the league for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Now, we're hyper-focused on it in Buffalo. There's been other names. But really, a lot of it's been James Cook from the national reporters mm-hmm. and the talking heads. As we've gotten closer to this, and now today, it's like, oh, Cook's here, but McLaurin's not there.
Right.
And TJ Watt's not there. And Jalen Ramsey's not there, right? I don't think any of those three are there, if I'm mistaken. That's
Ramsey's,
possible.
Ramsey's not there.
Ramsey
does have an excused absence, though.
Okay. Ramsey excused. Jonnu Smith not, though.
Jonnu Smith is not. Okay, there yep. you go. Yep. And Ramsey's going to get traded, I think. That's probably the excuse. Like, hey, yeah. dude, you don't need to be here. You're not part of the team.
Yeah. Right? We're not having you in meetings. You will not
right.
be here.
Exactly. So isn't it funny, though, how we've gone from, oh, my God, they have all this drama in Buffalo yeah. to, oh, James Cook is there, but there's all this drama over in this other spot now.
And, you know, the Terry McLaurin thing, me and Derek have talked about it. You know, what's worse, Cook not being at OTAs or McLaurin being at OTAs and leaving early? I think to me, I hear that and I go,
OTAs or minicamp? Is he there and left? Is
he was at OTAs. He was
at OTAs. OTAs.
And now, now not at minicamp further.
Right. That's right. And I think, yeah, that's kind of like a statement. I guess, you know what that is to me? And I don't know this. I'm not in Washington. What that says to me is maybe he showed up, talked with people, and got a sense of, okay, this is not going where I want
right,
it,
right.
so I'm just going to leave now. Or maybe he wanted to be there to make an attempt. I'm showing my face. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen, right? That could be that case. You know, the next part of this will be, A, what does James Cook do today?
Yep.
This could be a hold-in, which means he's here. He doesn't get fined. The team mm-hmm. cannot fine him because he is actually present, but he doesn't actually participate in any drills. That's what we're going to find out at 12:30 p.m. And just so everybody knows, the media can watch all of practice each
good.
3 days.
Good, okay.
So we'll be on the field watching, and then we still have the normal video reporting. You'll see, you know, shots of him and stuff, but we can report after practice what we saw and what we didn't see.
All right. So my daily Elijah Moore tweet.
There you go. And then the next part of that will be training camp, which is mm-hmm. there's been a lot of kind of reporting on this. And let me just clarify for everybody. So the way the CBA works is,
Thank you, yes,
you do get fined if you're not at training camp every day. If you are not there the first day of the mandatory report date, you do not get an accrued season. An accrued season means right now James Cook has completed 3 years. You must complete 4 years to be eligible for free agency. You have to have four accrued seasons. If you don't show up to the first day of training camp, you don't get an accrued season,
yeah.
which means you can't even become a free agent. But what you can do is show up the first day and then leave the second day.
And then leave, yep.
And you yeah. can do that.
Yep, okay.
That would be a workaround.
I'm glad you brought that up because me and Derek talked a little bit about that. I know One Bills Live had a guest on that was kind of talking about
yes,
that.
Yes, that was Joel Corey.
Yes, and yes. that was a big thing where it's like, wait, it'd be disastrous if he didn't show up. Wait, he's going to be there, but then you bring up the good point. He could yeah. show up day one, but leave day two.
He could do that. So that's down the road. Mm-hmm. We'll wait. You know, training camp is probably 6 weeks from now, let's say. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. I think today the more pressing is, okay, James Cook is here. He's in Buffalo. Let's see how things go. And, I mean, you never know. Maybe there is some sort of movement on a contract. Yeah. I mean, I'm not predicting that as I sit mm-hmm. here with you guys, but you never know when yeah. those things happen, which is, okay, he's here. Maybe his rep shows up. Maybe him and Brandon Bean kind of bridge a gap. You know, you start to move towards something. We'll see where it goes. More, this is from the Bengals, and this is something that's been brewing too. Shamar Stewart, a rookie,
yes.
will not be practicing.
God, what a mess the Bengals are right now.
Yeah, and Trey Hendrickson as well, obviously.
The Shamar Stewart thing is so fascinating. I'm going to get the verbiage wrong here, but from what I've read, it's essentially his rookie deal that they're pushing towards him is missing some of the language that
it's
you
the
see
offset language.
Around the
it
league.
It is consistently something that the Bengals do. They frustrate rookies oftentimes on
yeah.
their opening contracts because of offset language. They do this consistently, and now, Sal, I asked Zach this, so I'll ask it to you. Does that make the Bengals actually making a Super Bowl all the more impressive? Because considering their management style, how did you actually succeed?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Bengals for a long time just couldn't get out of their own way
right.
because of their own, you know, internal, right. how they want to operate. But a really great elite quarterback fixes a lot of that.
It will fix
and that's what happens.
Stuff.
It can cover. Listen, I mean, this is for many years, I would say, Tom Brady just covers up all the warts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you can talk about the Patriot way all you want. The Patriot way is having Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
That's really what it is.
Yep.
And you could say that about Buffalo, right? People
yep.
say that about the Bills. You could say it about the Chiefs. You could mm-hmm. say it about the Ravens. I do think that you have to have some more talent around, and the Bengals do. They have Ja'Marr Chase, and they have T. Higgins. Joe Mixon, obviously, you know, had been there. They had a really good defense a couple years ago, and
yeah.
Lou Anarumo. Sorry, I think that's how you say his name. I always get it wrong. You know, they did that. But, yes, I think to your point Derek, which is the Bengals are a franchise where if they didn't have that elite quarterback, like they don't find their way to making it work other ways,
right?
And that's what happened there. So we'll see how this all turns out for them. T.J. Watt not a camp, right?
And
that's
one. He was a little surprising too.
That's a spicy one for me. I love that's going on because I hate how the Steelers have no long-term vision, and it's kind of like it's biting you now in the tail.
Yeah, and here's the thing with T.J. Watt. He's 30 years old.
30 years old, yep.
Max Crosby just got paid a bunch of money. We know what Myles Garrett is making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think you give T.J. Watt Myles Garrett money, even though they're about the same age. He's a little bit older. If you want to give him Max Crosby money, that's still a lot of money for a guy that I don't think he had a tackle the last month of the year, by the way.
That is something I've heard a lot of Pittsburgh reporters talk about, that his last, like he had a good year, but the last month it was like, where is he?
Right, and I don't know. So you have T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward is like 35, Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to be 30, I think, coming up.
It's an old
like,
roster. What? They have no long
term. Rodgers.
Yeah, they did patchwork with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers these last two years.
So I do think that is going to be really interesting in how you know they proceed. And I'm interested to see what they give a guy like T.J. Watt because I think there is a sentiment there. If you listen to the Steelers reporters and people that I've talked to, there's a sentiment there that I don't know if they want to pay him a whole bunch of money. Yes, he's T.J. Watt. It'll probably get sorted out because he's such a legendary player and he's been so great for them. But I do think there's a danger they probably feel in what kind of money they can give him.
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's curious, though, with Watt. We heard so much about Myles Garrett, Trey Henderson. We're still hearing a lot about Trey Henderson, like Max Crosby.
Yep.
Watt's been the guy that's just been kind of just under the surface, the rumblings. And then today, he's not a mandatory minicamp.
And then Aaron Rodgers is there, right?
I mean, Rodgers is there. He skipped all the voluntary stuff. There he is. I know Rodgers. Some nationally were like, he's skipping voluntary. What's going on? He should be there. And it's like, guys, give him a – he's in Egypt. He's doing his weird tours. He'll be there.
did play it pretty smart of, like, not signing until OTAs were done so that it's not, oh, Aaron Rodgers is skipping OTAs. Nope, he's not a member of the team, I guess, to his credit. And I'm going to throw up now because I said that. But, yeah.
Well, so today, just so let's we'll give everybody a timeline today, tomorrow, Thursday. Sean McDermott will speak at 11:45. Team on the practice field at 12:30. Media gets to watch all practice each day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. After practice, we will hear from the newly married Josh Allen.
Wonderful.
He is scheduled to speak to the media. And then select players, we'll see. I don't know if James Cook's going to talk. My guess is he won't, but who knows? He might want to say something.
We'll see.
And then we'll have a microphone and hear what he has to say.
I had that bad thought where I'm like, oh, he's just in attendance to pull Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
He's not. James is already kind of a quiet guy. He doesn't talk to the media a lot. He's gracious with us when he does, but he's not like a guy that seeks out the microphone a lot. So, you know, we'll see if that happens. And then tomorrow back on it, I don't believe there's any media availability tomorrow before practice. And then they'll be back on the field at 12:30. Then Thursday at 11 a.m. practice. So Thursday's the day. And I think they do that to make sure, hey, we're done. Get the player. A lot of guys want to get out of here. You know what I mean? So you kind of wrap everything up. And then that's it until they show up for training camp. And another part of this is, so everybody knows, there is no difference in the rules between mandatory minicamp and what we've seen at OTAs. Everything they're doing is the same. The only difference is you got to be here.
Yeah, you got to be there.
Like, it's the same stuff. 7-on-7, 11-on-11, no hitting, but you can go offense against defense. Yep. And, you know, there's all the regular football stuff without the pads, basically, right? There's no difference. We've seen that for the last two Tuesdays we've been out there. Mandatory minicamp does not change the rules of the field and participation. All it does is change the rules on you needing to be there. That's all it is.
All right. So it'll be the same stuff. I'll get my Elijah Moore tweets.
You'll get overly giddy about that, and I'll try to help.
I got overly giddy because I saw him in a picture in Bills gear with a visor on, Derek. Okay. I was ready to rock.
So it's just more or less Sal, oddly enough, we talked with Sal Mariani yesterday, and Sal and I are in agreement of something. this stuff, like, it is our fault. We do overblow it up of, you know, the mini camp or the training camp reports, and people get overly giddy about it. And I'm like, I still very much subscribe to the preseason pledge of let's always be careful about this stuff. Always, like, gotta stay measured, cool all throughout the season.
Yeah.
And hearing Sal say that yesterday, he's like, I'm a bit of a curmudgeon, but I'm like this. And I'm like, I'm not alone, and I'm okay with this.
Listen, I think that there's
but I know that nuance. We also have a job.
There's nuance to ways to do this, and I say all the time, if you're making judgments on who's going to win a job now, like out of what you see in OTAs and minicamp, that's to me ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing that. like, we're not judging who the starting cornerback two is right now based on what we see out at mandatory minicamp. But it is your football team, and it is the NFL.
And
you do want to see guys out there and how they look. Has Keon Coleman, you know, gotten bigger, or Dalton Kincaid, right? And James Cook, the storyline. There's a lot of stuff out there, right? Josh Allen every year tells us something he's working on, right? That he tries. Like, yeah, that's out there. I push back on the notion of, oh, it's just minicamp and training camp, or just minicamp or OTAs, and it doesn't matter at all. Well, it does. This is how they get ready for training camp and how they're going to set what their reps are at training camp. So as a media member, I can watch and get a sense of, okay, like, what's going on? Is it, here's one for you, and I can't, like, we can't report these things, right? But I'm like, okay. Who's getting those reps? Joe Andreessen or Baylen Spector?
Yep.
Like, because now I can kind of formulate in my mind, what's it going to look like behind Terrell Bernard once they get to camp? Because there are some battles going on. Who's getting the reps in 7-on-7 on the outside? Max Harrison, Trey White, right? Like, how much is Jordan Hancock playing the safety versus the nickel? That's where I'm getting this information now to be able to formulate kind of down the road, and that's why it's important.
Yeah, it helps. I do love that. The deployment aspect is probably the most important aspect. And it's probably the perfect measure between the two sides of it. But also at the same time, we do know what the people want. We have a job to do.
100%. That's right. You're here for the entertainment, pal.
Yep. I can't wait for the Bills slow motion clip of highlights. Just don't give me the Anthony Richardson, here's a 2-yard dump off. I will scream. I will.
Did they do a 2-yard dump off with Anthony Richardson?
During OTAs? Which, to be fair with Anthony Richardson, that's a positive.
That's actually a big deal.
If you show a deep shot, they'll be like, I see this all the time. Where's the third down safety valve?
Yep.
And so you got to see that. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here. Go
okay.
get down to one
All right, guys. At Sal Sports, follow me along, and we'll have coverage for you today. And, of course, WGR550.com.
That's right. Let's big 3 days here. And James Cook is in attendance. We'll see, though, in terms of his participation. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
But I don't think we'll be seeing him in Buffalo anytime soon. And, again, the start of training camp will be the next critical moment. If they don't have a deal done there by then, does James Cook show up for training camp? Does he risk the penalties that come along in the collective bargaining agreement if he doesn't show up? But look, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason reward Saquon Barkley. We've seen the Baltimore Ravens reward Derrick Henry. We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet.
Oof. Yes, he will be at training camp. No, he will not risk incurring the penalties and fines that would come with missing minicamp. Sorry. Well, he's going to be at training camp now, too. If he's at minicamp, he's going to be at training camp. I mean, that's pretty safe assumption there, right?
I feel like it is. I feel like it is.
Especially because you have to be at least the first day of training camp.
I do. I really enjoy that loophole.
Yes.
I really do. Like, if it ever happened to the Bills, I'd hate it. But if I saw, like, it, let's say it happened to the Raiders, that would be my favorite thing of the week.
It's spicy.
Is that a player showed up for one day to make sure they get their accrued season and then left?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
But.
Oh, man. It's like, it again, I had this strong inkling that the Schefter report meant nothing. And not that it meant nothing, but it was a public negotiation tactic. I'm not going to necessarily say that Adam Schefter missed. He was given what he was given, and he said it. My bet is that was a negotiation tactic by agency to get them back to the table. Be like, hey, let's get this actually hammered out and done. Like, obviously, James is going to be here at minicamp, but let's actually get back to talking. Let's actually see if we can hammer something out and not have to ask this question again in February.
So Sal brought it up, too, and we just ran out of time with him because I kind of wanted to pick his brain on it a little bit. I can pick his brain tomorrow. But he mentioned that, you know, maybe he's coming to town because maybe – there's a new development there, what have you. And Derek, like you said there, it's not that maybe Schefter missed. Schefter, for all the grief many of us give him, is connected. He typically is talking to agents and or players personally.
He's using the information that was supplied to him and then going off of his basis of what is being said. That is what an insider does. Sometimes the information is not accurate from a trusted source, or it is meant to be used as a different sort of tactic. It is not purely informational. It is tactical.
Mm-hmm.
It is sometimes a public negotiation tactic. If a player and a team are at an impasse, this is something that often happens. An insider will then,
the word that's thrown around is carry water for player
right.
or team.
It's right.
Depending on the relationship that, or the statement and how the tone is sent.
Some of the statement. Tweets even feel like, yeah. okay, you were sent that and you copy-pasted
Ready?
It.
Why do you think Jordan Schultz went after Ian Rappaport in a Starbucks?
Yeah.
Information was supplied to each of them tactically, and
Schultz didn't like how Rappaport portrayed it.
Exactly. So, like, these things happen. So I'm not even going to necessarily say that Schefter missed. I'm not even going to dunk on it necessarily because of the fact you were told what you were told, and my bet is there was intention behind that, and you let the insider do a little bit of the work for you
mm-hmm.
When it comes to negotiation.
But so now, maybe one of the discussions now for the next few days, should we be on Cook extension watch?
And I say no.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a January, February, whenever the Bills get eliminated discussion. I'm hoping that we don't have to talk about this until like February 9th.
Well, right, because you've also been, though, on the feeling that he would be here anyways. So this really doesn't change much for you.
He said it.
Yeah.
And I took what his words were at mm-hmm. face value because of the type of personality that James Cook is. Sal said it last segment,
yep.
and I am 1,000% on that because it's an easy read.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a grab-the-microphone, attention-all-on-me guy. All he has been saying all offseason is, I just want to get paid more.
Yeah.
I just want a raise. That is something that is inherently human. He has not said, heck the Bills for not getting it for me. Or, you know, like, poo-poo on the team.
Yep.
None of this. I'm not seeing any Antonio Brown wackiness. I'm not seeing anything. I don't even know if I saw anything about, like, he removed the Bills from, like, Instagram or anything.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's because I don't pay attention to that as much, but I don't know if I even heard anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw James Cook on a live stream crumbling up papers showing images of AFC East rivals and the Chiefs.
It wasn't Deion Dawkins level, but it was close.
But what I'm seeing in that is, oh, there's loyalty to the crest. He's mm-hmm. still going to be here he's going to be here this year, and he's not going to worry about it. You don't go having fun with it against other teams that the Bills are rivals with.
Mm-hmm.
Without acknowledging, you're a Bill. That's Cam Ward on Fortnite saying that, what was it?
Well, when he's naming his top five receivers.
Yeah.
And one of them is Treylon Burks. And
yeah.
everyone's like, dude, he may not even be a Titan tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's it. Yeah, and like, Callahan's one of the best coaches in the league. Like, come on, man. Sometimes the obvious is obvious. And that.
It's my favorite thing
in that
season.
Moment, Cook just being his natural self on a stream, just hanging out and vibing. Being his natural self, saying "attack with the Chiefs, baby,"
mm-hmm.
like that's being a Bill.
Yeah,
that tells me, yeah, you're gonna be here. I have no worries about you skipping OTAs. Zero, as a matter of fact.
It is nice though. I mean, like this was really the only storyline going in. Like now, it goes to what OTAs, minicamp, even training camp to a certain extent, depending on the team you are. The main story is always like, don't get hurt.
Vibes are now ecstatic. I cannot wait to eat that Snickers.
Oh, yeah, if anyone doesn't know, there's a Snickers that we have here that is don't open unless we win a Super Bowl. There's also a chocolate Stanley Cup that I have to assume has been here for 15 years?
Not 15, but definitely since I've been here.
Josh is trying to look for the date. Now he's going to find one.
Oh, no.
Oh, the face.
Maybe
the
it is.
The expiration date. This chocolate expired in 2018.
Oh, boy.
Yes!
For reference, I mean, it's after 2012 because the Winnipeg Jets are on
there. Oh, boy.
Okay.
But.
So we don't have a Thrashers logo. That's nice.
You still have the old Arizona Coyotes logo.
The good one. Got it.
You still have the old Ottawa Senators logo. Yeah. And the old Ducks and Sabres logos. Like, it's an old
It's an old chocolate Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So, okay.
So now we have a Snickers bar.
What are we looking at? Tank era?
Probably around there.
Okay. So before I showed up, but still.
But incredible. No, the significance of the Snickers bar is that Josh Allen's going to be on the wrapper
yes.
of all these Snickers bars. That so if you go well, to
now the
that
significance
sells,
of that Snickers bar is that we're not allowed to eat it until the Bills win a Super Bowl.
Right, because Josh Allen's on it.
But I know that if they do, I'm in the building. I will absolutely grab the Snickers bar. You will be busy. Maybe.
I'll be busy, Josh. Will you be
you
here?
You won't be here.
Yeah, no, you were not going to be
so
here.
So the three of us.
Josh will be at home. He was like, I'll get here at 5 in the morning.
And Am I large enough to worry about a chocolate bar during a Bills Super Bowl? Yes.
There you go. The chocolate Stanley Cup, though, like that's one you got to share.
Yes.
That's like an Easter candy where like your parents got you like the big one. You're like,
not anymore.
That's going to take me 6 months to eat.
Yeah, actually, you can have all of that.
It's like a coffee cup size, like a coffee mug size Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. It's a big Stanley Cup.
You're sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, you can have it now. All you. You can take care of that one, big dog.
Chocolate doesn't expire.
I was going to say, yeah, what's bad chocolate actually going to do to my body?
It might make your stomach hurt a little.
You get the tummy aches.
I drink energy drinks like they're water, and I eat bad food all the time. My body will be fine. My body's a temple, just not a good
You're
one.
You're also like 27.
I probably got a few more years before the metabolism
stops. You can get away with eating an expired cup. I can't.
But I'm wondering, though, what's expired chocolate's not going to kill me. I'll be fine.
You say that now.
Now, if I eat too much regular chocolate, I get it. But like, I have a piece or two of it, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. No worries.
You know what? Sabres win the Stanley Cup. You should eat the whole thing.
Expired chocolate may become more brittle, develop a white coating called bloom, which is not mold, but a reaction to temperature fluctuations. Okay. And it may taste stale or rancid.
So it's just going to taste like garbage. We're fine. I have zero issues.
Sabres win the Stanley Cup this year. You have to eat the whole thing.
I'm not eating the whole thing, though.
This year?
I'm not eating the whole
thing.
That's not the crazy part. This year.
That's the insane part.
That's why I said it.
803-0550, the number to call. We are hoping to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott at 11:45. We hope to carry as much of that for you as we can. But the big news of the day, James Cook is in attendance for Bills mandatory minicamp. If you want to give your thoughts on that, 803-0550 is the number to call. But Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we're with you until 12 o'clock. This is WGR. Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ryan for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Should we talk about the butt-whooping last night in the Stanley Cup Final or my almost disaster with the weather yesterday?
I feel like we can do both. We can do both. Here's what happened last night. Brad Marchand scored less than a minute in.
Yep.
Edmonton found a way to claw back to within one and then proceeded to get walked out of the arena in every conceivable manner.
Yeah, 6-1. Not great.
Like, I'm genuinely scared if this turns a series into not much of one. But, yeah, there's definitely a you got to win this one on Thursday night, Edmonton.
I did see ESPN put up, I think it was when Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid don't register a point. Edmonton's like 2-11 or like 2-12.
Which makes sense. Your best players have to be your best players.
Best players got
to
be your best players. And I'd even say, look at Florida. You have Marchand, Reinhart, Carter Verhaeghe, and Ekblad all producing goals.
Florida, though, doesn't need that right now with how things are going. What a trade Brad Marchand has been.
Yeah.
Like, I hope the Boston Bruins perpetual misery. Like, that was, I get it. He was kind of hamstringing you a little bit.
He's older. They're moving on to a different core.
But you should make Florida pay more than a conditional first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he has been double that.
He's been incredible.
He has been a star for them. And he's, what, 37? Mm-hmm. You also got to wonder, too, are they going to try to make things work to bring him back? With where maybe Matthew Tkachuk could be next year due to his injuries?
Considering that Bennett probably prices himself out because he's scored.
Definitely could. Definitely could.
You're probably looking at, all right, we probably won't have Sam Bennett, so we need someone in that middle six, that perfect type of middle six forward, and we'd be happy to keep you back.
Yeah, he's been.
I have seen the reports that Marchand would be looking for a decent cap hit on a multi-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Does Florida have the chance to afford that as well?
Right. Panthers insider George Richards, he joined Shilpin the Bulldog yesterday. He did mention, though, specifically with Ekblad and Bennett, both of the UFAs for them, they are very close, and they could take less to keep the band together. And that is something we see all the time with winning teams that not all the time does the band actually have to break up.
But how much is it less when you get the state tax taken away?
Yeah. So all of a sudden, I'm quote-unquote taking less here.
But it's okay. Gary Bettman can dunk on Bissonnette for asking the question.
Well, yeah. It's because of the mustache. It's really what it is.
I'm gonna deflect it and make fun of Paul Bissonnette's appearance. No, Gary, this is how the game doesn't grow, by not taking it seriously.
Game 4 in Florida on Thursday. We do got a little bit of a wait here. No finals action tonight either. Game three of the NBA Finals is tomorrow as the series goes to Indiana. That series tied one game apiece. So real quick, my battle with the weather yesterday, I am dog-sitting two Huskies about a half hour away from the station. So I leave during my little two-hour break that I've got here,
right,
and I go let them out. Yesterday we all saw there was a little bit of the weather, like, all right, it might rain today. It was raining a little bit here as I left. I'm like, okay, if it's sprinkling, we're fine, we're fine. I pull up to the house. The rain's starting to come down a little bit more. I rush in. Let the girls out. They do their business. I saw it the whole thing. 15, 20 seconds after they fly back into the house, downpour for about 10 minutes. And I'm sitting there like, I did not have time for that today. If I stayed at a red light a little longer, the stress levels would have been through the roof. And these are two Huskies. I mean, they like to jump on you, the whole thing. The idea of trying to wash them off, clean them off. No. No.
Congratulations on getting Huskies exactly where they needed to be.
They're wonderful.
On your command.
They're wonderful. Zoe and Mika, they're my girls.
Congratulations. Whoever trained those Huskies, medal.
I will also say,
Congressional Medal of Honor.
I think they were testing me when I was first watching them. They would wake me up at 4:30 in the morning. They're like, no, it's breakfast time. We're going outside. Get up.
You did that with me this morning?
Now... Yeah. Yes, me and Josh did.
you two are my Huskies this morning.
Now,
jerks,
they get up at around 6:30, and I'm like, look at that. We're bonding. We're
getting closer. I legitimately threw my phone away from my bed because of you two this morning.
You just didn't appreciate the 35 memes we sent at 6:30 in the morning. That's not our fault.
You just needed to give me 40 minutes.
No, we were up.
Because then I countered with memes.
Poor Josh. He's up at 4:30.
Poor Josh. He does this every day.
Oh, my goodness. 4?
He does this every day.
Four?
It's four. It's
you
what
still
time?
Light in your eyes, too. Man, good for you.
Again, he does it every day.
4 o'clock in the morning. The life would have left my eyes months ago.
It's a schedule.
Yeah. What time do you go to bed by?
Well, it depends on what's happening. Usually I take a nice little mid-afternoon nap.
Okay, so you're still a nap guy. Okay.
Yeah. I try not to.
I couldn't be a nap guy.
I mean,
but
it makes some sense.
Usually I stay up to like 9 or 10.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy.
And
sometimes.
Then depending on something happening, if he's psychotic enough to watch a...
Double overtime
hockey game.
No.
No. That didn't happen.
Catch up in the morning. But that's something Howard used to do. He would catch up in the morning, quite literally.
I could never beat him here in the morning when I was working with him.
Same.
There's just no earthly explanation to it.
No, it's that I grew to accept it, and I also saw behind the scenes because I couldn't go home one time. And
it's unbelievable.
I crashed at the Simon residence.
Never could beat him. It was that and then the 2 5-hour energies that were just like sitting there at the desk. And I'm like, you're crazy. I mean, I say that as somebody that drinks energy drinks like coffee, and I will fix that eventually. Well, but today is not that day.
Today is not that day. But we have one more hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. We'll talk a little bit more about the James Cook thing and why I love the idea of saying this is the right way to go through a contract negotiation.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, what's up? Hour number two, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, hanging around with you as we are getting more frequently doing here. Sal Capaccio down at minicamp. And as always, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I teased something going into the break that I really wanted to bring up about James Cook that kind of makes me feel a little encouraged,
mm-hmm.
so to say, about the whole scenario. You got to remember, the thing I was dreading more was having to talk about this because I always thought that this was a non-story.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me into this new point about James Cook. Is there any better way for a player to have gone into a negotiation sort of thing publicly, with the public eye, I should say,
mm-hmm.
than what James Cook is doing? Which is, quite simply, I would like a raise because I'm good at my job, but not disparaging the team for not getting it done. I don't know if there's a better way for this to be going to be shaking out right now in terms of this season standalone. When it comes to next year, the contract being up, do they re-up him? What kind of price? If not, what's he getting free agency? All that is not in my focus. I am talking about this offseason and now into this part of it. Is there a better way? And there's only one answer to yes, if he's a full participant in minicamp.
I agree. I like the way you word it, too, because it's in a negotiation.
Yes.
Because there have been players that just got extensions and we never heard from them at all.
Yeah.
This offseason for the Bills. But we did know, and that's fine, James Cook and the Bills are still in a negotiation.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
I guess quiet is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on that, but.
But that's the thing, is that we know they're in a negotiation. Could end now, could end in February, could end in March when he's not a Bill or is a Bill, whatever, right. What have you. But he didn't show up for the voluntary stuff, which is fine. No right. issues. Josh Allen didn't show up for week 2 either because he got married. Certain people could say, well, you could have gotten married at
Bills
a
quarterback
point.
Controversy.
Right? Well, I personally want to hear from Josh Allen to hear if rich people still take honeymoons, but that's neither here nor there. For Cook, I think you are right that he handled this in maybe the best way. It also helps, though, because we've brought up the Bengals a lot. It's not like the Bills go about it in a bad way. They're not disingenuous in this either. With the Bengals, you look
they
at
went
it.
They've been public about Trey Hendrickson a couple times now.
And that's the thing. The Bengals, they start negotiation wars. It does appear the Bills are just in negotiations. I'd also say, too, you know who else is just in negotiations? Dallas. Dallas, you very rarely get bad blood. The difference there is, and where it frustrates everyone, is, Jerry, why are you waiting so long? Why are you waiting for other players to get big deals so the price gets bigger?
Hang on. Didn't this offseason Jerry slam one of the agents for Micah Parsons?
He slammed an agent, but he's fine with Parsons.
Yeah, but that's my thing is that, like, and it kind of irked Parsons. I remember that.
Well, yeah, because Parsons was like, I'm not signing anything unless my agent's there, which legal representation or agent, that makes complete sense.
Of course it's going to happen. But so it does happen sometimes, like even with Dallas. But more times than not, oftentimes you'll see teams not really get into that sort of thing. And oftentimes it's, the player wants more, the team's playing hardball, they want to try to get the public favor for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All Cook has been doing is every now and then posting on social media, $15 million sounds great.
Yeah.
Which is a...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very normal thing to say.
It is. And I do wonder, maybe specifically with this fan base too, having just come off the Stephon Diggs stuff. With Diggs, ultimately, it was at times very entertaining. Diggs tweeted like somebody that wasn't a superstar athlete, which was both entertaining, but also like, dude, please, like, for the love of God. And there was also that aspect of Diggs that, while I both very much appreciated it, it was somewhat stressful. He never would fully commit. Right. Whenever he would sit in with Kay Adams or at Super Bowl week and he would be doing interviews, he could never fully commit to, I want to retire a Buffalo Bill. I love Buffalo unconditionally. Josh Allen is incredible at this. Day one, he's like, Buffalo, done. Great. And it's been that way since. And Sal brought it up with us in the first hour. James is very gracious with the media, but let's not act like he talks a lot. He's not Matt Milano, where I'm not sure he speaks. But James Cook does not talk a lot. And so for many of us, there is sort of this, I don't want to say not understanding, but there is some questions of like, does he love living here. I mean, he's from Florida, went to school in Georgia. Maybe he doesn't really want to be here. Well, I mean, his brother Dalvin kind of fought for a big contract. Maybe, like, that's really what he's doing. Like, is he getting all his P's and Q's from Dalvin? Does he eventually want to leave? I mean, he's retweeting $15, $20 million. You ask questions because you're not getting everything. It was the same with Diggs. It was just more frustrating. And then it got really frustrating when ultimately a lot of it did kind of turn out to be right. He treated it as exactly as it is, a business. And to be fair, I do credit Stephon Diggs on that a lot because he treated it as a business exactly like how a team would. And he never lost that feeling on it. A quarterback, and especially a superstar quarterback, you can have a very different feel on the game. You are very different to the game. Allen did this back, I think, in 2019 during one of the Bills Embedded episodes where he's one of the few players that can just miraculously call up Brandon Beane or Sean McDermott. And they'll answer. Where some of the other players joked that, like, they can't do that.
Right.
It's different for a quarterback. And I think Allen balances it wonderfully. I have no issues with it. But there is that difference. I agree with you. I really don't think Cook could have handled this any better, especially because it is an open negotiation. They are working towards something. But in the same vein, I think the Bills have also done a really good job with it.
As a matter of fact, the bigger annoyance throughout the offseason has been towards Dalvin Cook, not James Cook.
Right? It almost feels like everyone's looking at him going, like, wait a second, look what he did, though.
Yeah, and but also Dalvin being almost more vocal than his brother,
yeah,
in a sense, for this sort of thing is also kind of where it's again, those tea leaves, it was very easy to read. This is where I still didn't understand everyone being too nervous. And you bring up the Stephon Diggs thing, and I guess that's probably where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was never worried for a second about this. And especially because of Cook's personality, the fact that he does not try to go seeking out attention. Being in a hardball stance for a new contract is exactly the antithesis of what James Cook is in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, suddenly every single microphone's in front of you.
Yeah.
Hell, if he shows up today and Sal said, like, if he does speak today, every microphone's going to be in front of him.
Mm-hmm. I do hope he speaks. I don't anticipate he will, but I'd like to hear from him.
Yeah, but it's
especially because, again, like, the only things we've gotten from are retweets,
yeah,
and tweets, or, as you mentioned,
or pictures.
Pictures or, like, some Instagram lives where he goes on and rips up some, you know, AFC East rivals. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It is curious, though, like, watching these go on. It's also something, too, that being on a good team and a team that you can somewhat reasonably consider is well-run.
I watched Jalen Ramsey in Miami or Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville or, for example, now, Yanu Smith with Miami or Terry McLaurin, you know, showing up and trying to get there in a measure of good faith and then not only not getting it done, leaving OTAs and now not at minicamp. Buffalo does still hold a large amount of the power, and that is the unfortunate part of it on a player for your first contract, is especially if you're not a first-round selection, that contract isn't the greatest.
Yep. This year alone, he is going to make all of the money he made the previous 3 years.
And that's the big deal. It's often backloaded on those rookie deals.
Yep.
You don't want to lose that money. Like you just said, it's more than combined the last three.
Mm-hmm.
Or as much. Yeah, I'm not losing that money. You've kind of got me where I've got. Like, it just, I'm where I am. So there is not as much power. And I did say yesterday, if he's skipping minicamp, that's bad agent advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any agency wants to lead a player down that road.
Yeah.
Or should want to lead a player down that road. It's disingenuous at that point. So you're expressing your desire for a raise. It's not completely silent, but it's relatively tame.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to other situations.
Yeah.
And you take that for what it is. So, James Cook, keep being you, man. I like it.
His career earnings up to this point, $4.6 million. 2025 cash, $5.3 million.
And I do, again, so we are talking about millions of dollars. So that's something that obviously does not really resonate or is something that's relatable to us or the listening audience. It's not relatable. So obviously people will get angry about that because we are talking about millions of dollars. But James Cook's core argument here is I'm doing well at my job. I would like a raise, please.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the please is part of the message.
Yeah.
It's not a demand necessarily more than a please. Because if he really wanted to be angry with the tone of it,
I mean, there were ways he could go about it.
He would not be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period.
And a lot of people didn't think he'd be here anyways.
There were a lot of people that thought that too. And
weren't immediately thinking, oh, he's not going to be here at training camp. He's not going to play. It was just more like this is one he could miss. He'll lose money, but they're in a negotiation. This is a negotiation tactic. He could absolutely miss.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, though, is this also maybe Cook blinking first? If you're looking at the negotiation of him going like, okay, hell, all right, I gotta go. I gotta go.
But if he's blinking first, yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
It's also probably what was going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Tea leaves. This one was an easy read. And I understand why people were nervous about it now because we talked about all this a little bit at length. But it, again, is... There's a lot worse ways you can go about this.
There's a lot worse
ways. Like I just said, James Cook, keep being you.
Yeah, there's a lot worse ways on both sides. I think the Bengals
show that perspective.
Might be the team to look at and go, okay, I really hope my team never operates like that.
Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson, who has only ever been, it seems, a good guy in the league, has to multiple times this offseason kind of burn the organization, including showing up to voluntary workouts for 20 minutes just to talk to the media about how bad this has been, about the lack of communication that has been there. And then to top that all off, one of his compatriots on the defense, who they just drafted in the first round, is having similar problems.
And
it's incredible.
But also, for Hendrickson, it has been a years-long problem.
Yes. He mentioned that on the Pat McAfee show, how it was like, hey, if you put the season up again, we're going to get back to the table. We'll get you a long-term deal. Literally puts up the exact same season. What is it, 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years both?
Yeah.
Does it. And they're like, well, we didn't think he'd actually do that.
Oh,
that's the feeling.
We might actually have to pay him.
Oh, we
got to
actually do this.
Really? We have to do this? We have to do the negotiation part of this? Ugh, the Bengals are a disaster. And
they are a wonder.
I don't get them at all.
Other news on another AFC team, the Houston Texans. There was a report last week CJ Stroud was still not throwing at OTAs. There was some concern there. Concern may be alleviated. He is throwing today at mandatory minicamp.
And there we go.
So potentially his injury may not be much. I also did want to look up, because we have been talking about James Cook. We've talked a little bit about his stats. His playoff run, though, this year for the Bills, we've mentioned a lot that if they win that AFC Championship game, we may not be having this conversation at all. He may already have an extension.
He might already have an extension, or the number might even be lower.
Yeah. But
in a different sense.
His postseason was impressive. First game against Denver, 23 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown, good for 5.2 average. Actually had no catches, no targets even. Next game against Baltimore, 17 for 67, no touchdowns, but 3 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards. And then, of course, the Kansas City game, where I would argue he was their best offensive player, not named Josh Allen. 13 for 85, 2 touchdowns, good for 6.5 average, and 3 targets, 3 catches
for
49
yards. And
if the
defense holds the Chiefs, he has an iconic touchdown that gives him the lead.
The Bills, if they went to the Super Bowl this year, would have 2 iconic plays this year alone. Just against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was going to say they were both against the Chiefs.
Just against the Chiefs, that would be played forever for Bills fans. It's the Allen run in the regular season, and then it would be the Cook. How the hell is he still up reaching for the pylon?
Mr. Fantastic, stretching it as far as you can go.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a fun movie. I can't wait for that to come out, by the way.
But you got that Superman this summer?
Yeah, but... Still also this, like, it's an iconic play if they win.
Yeah, now it's a play that we all remember.
It's a play that we remember, but a lot of people might not, because it might blend in with the typical Chiefs fan trauma at that point.
Well, I constantly mention it too, like outside, like we all remember the 2021 AFC divisional game. We all remember 13 seconds. We have a nickname for it. How many other fan bases like really look at it as, oh, it's 13 seconds?
I think there's enough fan bases that do. It's nationally recognized. I think this one, because of the fact that there wasn't like this one moment of collapse.
Oh, and it was just, yeah.
It was the defense slowly bleeding through the entire evening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where, okay, yeah, Like, it's not like we're going to call this the failed tush push game or something.
Right, right.
Like, I'm forcing a nickname even out of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a play there. And it's very simple. If they win it, it's you finally broke through. That's what that game is called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the nickname of that game, but that's when this Bills team finally broke through. And that's obviously if it ever happens. That's when this group finally broke through. I remember this. And nationally, you could say that.
You could, yeah.
They finally got past the Chiefs. Thank goodness. I don't need to see the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. That is what will be said. Please do it for the rest of the football fandom.
Yeah, I do wonder nationally if a lot of people are like, we just want one of the Bills or Ravens to just do it.
Yes.
just do it.
Yes, because do you remember the Super Bowl rating numbers where they spiked in the second quarter because Chiefs were getting beaten down?
That's right.
People that said, I'm not watching, actually held to their standards and then said, and then also went, wait, they're losing by what?
It's how bad?
It's how bad? Yes. So, again, to know that it feels weird to know that you have a team that is seen as quote unquote the good guys
for now.
For now, ask Ravens fans, I guess it's a different story. But
oh, my dream is the Bills to become the villain of the league. That is my dream.
But the thing is that you are currently the underdog, the plucky underdog.
You're Rocky.
Almost.
You're Rocky.
Ready? Almost the jobber.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a good show.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are Vegeta.
The Bills are Vegeta.
And half of you, more than half of you, don't even know what I meant by that. But everyone, every main villain in Dragon Ball has to beat Vegeta in order to be shown as a true threat.
That's right.
The Bills are Vegeta. It's annoying as hell.
You know, on the Bill, real quick on this point, because I mentioned it with Sal Marana yesterday, that I had watched the Netflix documentary on the Boston Red Sox, that 2003-2004 season. Specifically, it really is when they hire Theo Epstein and they start moving forward. Then. And, of course, you have the iconic coming back down from 3-0 and to win the ALCS. And then they go on and win the World Series. And that's almost an afterthought. You know, a part of me watched it because there is that connection that Bills Chiefs has to that. It's not historical in that sense, although they do have some historical rivalries with the older Chiefs and Bills teams in the 60s. But there is that feeling there that the Yankees just always seemed to get the Red Sox. Didn't matter how good the Red Sox were, it just always seemed to happen. And then it didn't. And eventually the Red Sox got over them in historic fashion. And in, if you ask any Yankees fan, an embarrassing fashion. But they got it and they go on and win the Super Bowl and or they win the World Series. And I'm watching that kind of thinking too is like, man, we might be getting to a point nationally, historically, that the Bills getting over the Chiefs alone in the playoffs might be documentary worthy. It might be that thing of like, that will be remembered forever because they couldn't do it for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's argued by, I think, most people that if it weren't for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, Sean McDermott would already be considered a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes.
Because he'd probably have multiple Super Bowls. Then you add on everything they've already done, plus, let's say, for argument's sake, two Super Bowls.
Right.
Allen, it's not even a question.
Oh, yeah, no. He already has had to fight tooth and nail to get this MVP.
Yeah.
So that he can now be recognized with hardware of being one of these quarterbacks in this era. Because nationally, it's not seen that way before this. And mm-hmm. even then, there's still enough argument about a quote-unquote Mickey Mouse MVP.
Yep.
Which comes with the hilarious irony that what did we call 2 years ago?
Right. And so like I look at that and I'm like, yeah, we really are one piece being removed. I mean, how many times do we hear from it, from fans, calling McDermott a bad coach?
Right.
Where in reality, if you take away one piece, Andy Reid. Let's just take away Andy Reid.
Ready?
No. Or Mahomes from the Chiefs.
I'll do you one better. Take away Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, Spags is not the defensive coordinator.
Someone hires him as a head coach yep. somewhere.
We might be talking more
the
about...
The Chiefs are far less annoying mm-hmm. than they are.
Yeah. We might be talking about McDermott already, signed, sealed, delivered, first-ballot Hall of Fame coach, Allen first-ballot Hall of Fame coach, and our conversations are more along the lines of, has Allen passed Hasek as the best Buffalo player of all time. You know, where are they all-time Buffalo sports?
That's a fun off-season discussion.
I think
we got to put a pin in this one for a couple months.
You're one piece away from like that being the conversation rather than are they ever going to get over them.
Yeah, let's save that one for like mid-July.
It's a curiosity. if no one's seen it, it's on Netflix. Just look at Boston Red Sox. I don't have the title because they've got a few of them because one, they followed them like last season or whatever. But it's really good. You hear from Kevin Millar. Theo Epstein's phenomenal in it because he still looks 15. Like when he – like back in like the early 2000s, he was a young GM. But so cool to like hear those. And they had their own drama as well. Bills get rid of Stephon Diggs. They got rid of Nomar – I can never get his last name, so I'm just going to say Nomar.
Nomar Garcia Parr?
Thank you. I cannot pronounce it. They get rid of Nomar, and that's a big thing. And there was drama there, but they end up going on their run. And it's as a Bills fan, and I hate saying this, I really empathized with Boston. And I felt that struggle of just always being number two to Kansas City. That was a big thing, too, them finishing in the AL East. Number two to the same team for, I think, 7 years. It was a record at the time. And I empathized with that so much. I've seen the documentary before, too, but it was when it first came out. And now they lost to the Chiefs again, and I felt that because it's the same thing. They could beat them in a regular season series. They've swept them before in regular season series. But when it got to the playoffs, it was just Jeter. I mean, hell, even the A-Rod stuff. When they're about to get him, and Kevin Millar makes an idiotic comment on SportsCenter, which is a hysterical moment in the documentary where he actually hears what he actually said and realizes Nomar absolutely had the right to be upset at him.
Yep.
Where before he's like, "Why? I don't know why I was upset. I was asked a question, I answered it." And then he's told like what it was. He's like, oh, he has every right to be pissed. Yeah, that makes total sense. But they even had, you know, that stuff where they get one up on him. They get A-Rod. A-Rod's different from Xavier Worthy, but for some Bills fans, it'll be, oh my God. They got him. That was our guy. I empathize with it a lot, and it has made me think more and more of like, man, if the Bills do eventually beat the Chiefs, and we've argued too that they don't necessarily need to beat them for it to be worth it. Just get a Super Bowl, right? But if they were to beat them and go to the Super Bowl and win it, there might be for some nationally, the Super Bowl's an afterthought. Good for them. They won it. But they got them. And now they are.
They got them to get there, which – totally don't need that route anymore, by the way. I'm okay with those weird questions from national pundits.
Right, I'm cool. I don't care. But it is this fun thing. It also helped that Boston goes on from there to then win three more World Series.
We will get Stephen A. But can they beat the Chiefs?
Can they get there? Yeah, well, I don't care. Just give me a bowl.
Doesn't matter if there's a ring involved.
803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at hopefully 11:45. We're hoping to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll carry as much of that as we can, but if you want to give your thoughts, James Cook in attendance today for Mandatory Minicamp would love to hear from it. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. The Buffalo Bills Carolina Panthers connection still very much alive.
Strong.
The Buffalo Bills have announced they are signing a linebacker as they get ready to begin mandatory minicamp, and that is Shaq Thompson.
I like this.
Who was with Carolina from 2015 to 2024. I was a little surprised. We just got the notification from Josh, and I was like, Shaq Thompson, I know that name. This is not like a quote-unquote practice squad guy who's like a camp body. This is a known guy.
So over the last 2 years, injuries have shut down his seasons. Mm-hmm. He played in a combined 6 games. They were all as a starter, though. But the 4 years prior, so 2019 through 2022, over 100 tackles each of those 4 seasons,
mm-hmm.
as he became kind of the de facto leader on that defense. I think this is a great depth signing.
Yeah.
If he's able to stick through camp.
Agreed.
This could be Deion Jones from last year.
Yeah, could be.
Where I loved that signing, and then Jones barely even saw the field in preseason. And you're like, all right, he's getting cut. But we don't know. We don't know. However, I am perfectly fine. Love this. It's a great depth signing at minimum. And hopefully you could see him make it through camp because he was a very excitable prospect when he was a first-round pick in 2015. And, man, it would be nice to see if he can regain some form. That said, where's he going to take snaps from? It's a depth signing, probably for your outside. And that's already Milano and Dorian Williams. Mm-hmm.
That is the question. You also do wonder, though, again, just because of a few years ago, them running out of linebackers.
Yes, this is another one of those moments of like, yeah, let's keep our options open here.
Yeah, it's one of those things of like, we don't want to have to go to a well of, hey, we know you've been on the couch all season and you're getting ready to go on vacation, but we need you to cover Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Sorry, AJ Klein.
And that's a little bit better. Than what we would see in years past there. So not bad. Pretty good signing there for the for the Bills to be able to add there with their linebacking core, Shaq Thompson. Hopefully he can get himself a little healthy.
Yeah, we'll see. Question for you, though, because we are going to take a little bit of an early break here so we can maybe get from all Sean McDermott.
Try to get Sean McDermott to end our show here.
So Sal brought it up to us in the first segment about how really this is kind of just an extension of OTAs. Nothing changes outside of the fact that the media will be there for 3 days and it's completely mandatory. That's really it.
Right.
What are you looking for from this? What do you want to, I guess, continue to see from OTAs?
I guess what I want to see is the thing that Sal can't report. Because remember, I said this yesterday of like, ultimately, I'm not going to get overhyped about these sorts of things. Deployment does matter, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I don't get access to
if no.
I'm not there. And that is something that I'm probably the most intrigued by, because that is the Bills seeing enough through practices to where they're formulating their depth chart throughout this as it is.
Mm-hmm.
What am I looking for? Probably just how are the rookies doing?
Yep.
See if there's some splashes. See what the new look defense could be. So to say, how are corners deploying? If we get a little bit of that insight, is Trey White looking fresh coming back here?
Mm-hmm.
It's more or less, I want to see what happens with the rookies, the new addition.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On defense, because that was the thing that really bit you last year at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I, on the deployment thing, for me,
I wish we would be able to get all of that.
I think you can get some of it, though, with context clues. When all of a sudden you hear Josh Allen threw a pass to Elijah Moore, goes for 25, you can kind of, okay, he's not with Mike White. He's not with Mitch Trubisky. Okay, he's with Allen. Same thing, Keon Coleman beats Max Harrison. We heard that in OTAs. Okay, Harrison is at least with the starters. You're not going to get the whole picture, but I think there's a way that you can sort of figure out enough of this, or at least enough to kind of not have you go hungry until training camp, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it.
Right, for there'll me, be little snippets.
Yep, for me, I'm absolutely with you. I want to see the rookies. I've said it a few times. They need to start having, you know, extra base hits with some of these guys. I'm not saying home runs, but, you know, maybe a double or triple in the first and second round. You need guys that are coming in day one and contributing. And if I all of a sudden see that, like, TJ Sanders looks like a menace out there and it's going to be tough to keep him on the field, same with Deion Walker. Or for Harrison, it's like, hey, he's locked up the number two spot. You know, like, they are feeling really good about him. Or, as I've mentioned with the veterans, Elijah Moore. If all of a sudden it continues to be like, hey, he's like with Allen and they're connecting often, I think that is going to be big for the team going forward. I think that's why I like Moore a lot. He offers a dimension that I don't really necessarily think the Bills have a ton of. And then likewise with the defense, if Deion Walker and TJ Sanders are popping or at least look pretty darn good, mention it, I think they could get Ed Oliver to that extra level that we know is there. Two seasons ago, having, what, 9.5 sacks?
Yep.
At the D-tackle spot, not even to bring up QB pressures or QB hurries. So if they can get him back to that level, that's where your superstars are. Same with Max Harrison. If he can lock down that CB2 spot and get Benford a little bit more room there, I think that's your superstar in the outside corner spot in the secondary. I think there are potentially superstars here. They just need to be augmented better. They need to be helped around more.
Matchups might help context clues in terms of deployment, and that might be an interesting little thing and tidbit to look at there. Before we head to break, I want to ask you, Shaq Thompson, wearing number 45.
It's a good linebacker number.
Okay.
It's a good linebacker number.
I had to ask the authority of numbers.
Thank you.
Just to let you know on that one. But don't forget, Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back. Ready to tee it up for free? Every Friday, we're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways, Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card as well in that giveaway. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. We'll come back and make sure that we can carry as much of Sean McDermott as we can before we have to kick it to Sabres Live. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hoping to get to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up here in the next few minutes as mandatory minicamps do begin today. We do know the big news of today and really the week is that running back James Cook is in attendance. We don't know exactly how much he'll be participating, but he is in attendance for mandatory minicamp as, well, it's unsurprising he is in contract negotiations with the Bills, 1 year remaining on his rookie deal. We did already hear from Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Derek, I don't know if you saw the video that, at least from what I saw on Cameron Wolf's Twitter, NFL insider Cameron Wolf. McDaniel does not look good. He looks like a man that is just given up.
He looks like a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Like he's going to get fired by week five.
Yeah. It looks like it's like this is a waste of my time. I shouldn't be
it's
here.
It's a waste of my time. And again, I don't know why. Oof. I don't know why Chris Greer gets to be the one to fire him, but yeah. You know, that's the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And it's very strange to me, but yeah, no, McDaniel looks defeated, and I like how different he is in a sense of, like, you know, trying to be a different person over the last couple of years. It's a little bit of a fresh pace from, like, a lot of the coach speak and all this other stuff. However, it gets real old if you're not winning.
100%. And Pat tweeted in, feels like a guy who knows he needs to win with a roster that isn't as good as it has been. His identity is, quote, good vibes guy and believes it worked to an extent, but this is not a great look.
And the problem with it not being a great look is that ultimately he knows that there are some things out of his control. And I think he's displaying it a little bit, like with the language or the body language of, he knows that this is a worse team, like the tweet said, and he's kind of showing it. And again, Chris Greer getting another power struggle with a coach and being able to win it. I don't know what kind of skeletons he's got, but he's got the good ones.
And it is interesting, too. You bring up Chris Greer there. Like, he just – the rosters they've built are not –
they're not conducive
to win in modern NFL.
No.
Now, they can be very flashy and exciting. And yeah, the Dolphins have had moments where in the offseason you're like, okay, they're the fastest track team we've ever seen. And look, against bad teams, they could put up points. They could run teams off the ground. 70 against Denver.
Yep.
But then the next week, against a better built Bills team, they were annihilated.
Humbled.
Hard anytime work. It gets below 60, they struggle. Anytime it's a team above 500, they lose.
It's uncanny how consistent that track record has been for those two scenarios over the past 3 years.
Yep.
This has been a three-year-long problem, and you wonder how much of it's on the head coach, because you got to have him ready at some point for these cold weather or better opponents.
Well, and I've also brought up, too, whenever Tua is hurt, that offense, not only – I mean, it's going to be worse when your starter's not there, but you look at Kevin O'Connell and some of these other – Matt LaFleur especially, these other offensive wounded coaches when their starter goes down, they're still able to score points. Tyreek Hill was a non-factor when Tua went down. That's offensive malpractice.
Yes. And it is, ultimately, yeah, how much of it is on the head coach, but it is surprising how much of it is on the GM, and he's not suffering these consequences.
Yeah.
But someone has to. And that's the reality of professional sports, is that ultimately these coaches, head coaches, ultimately do serve one day to get fired.
Mm-hmm. Everybody.
It happens to the best of them. Even Bill Belichick, for example. Mm-hmm. The only way it doesn't happen is if you're in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization.
Yeah, they're kind of the only one.
And even then, they had to fire Matt Canada a couple years ago.
But in terms of head coach, like you're hired to eventually retire here.
Yes. And
you're hired to eventually retire.
But that's the rarity. That's the one in 32.
Mm-hmm. Also, update on Shaq Thompson. Sal tweeted this in about 2 minutes ago. The Bills roster now stands with this addition at their maximum of 91 players. No corresponding releases were needed.
Because Travis Clayton, their seventh-round pick last year, mm-hmm. is an international player. That's where their exemption comes in. That's why they get 91, not 90.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go.
So in case you had a question on it,
mm-hmm. there it is.
Got you covered.
Yeah, the Dolphins, it is also stunning how quickly their star fell. I mean they really just never actually had a moment in the sun. Because the offseason doesn't really count. Honestly, it doesn't. Their moment in the sun, truly, 70 points against Denver.
And even
they've had other great moments too. I think through like 6 touchdown passes against Baltimore.
I think that was their moment in the sun because they were started to be they were taken seriously a little bit.
Okay,
when they scored 70 against Denver, there was this okay, can you do it again against Buffalo? Because otherwise, mm-hmm. you're the same team that can't beat a team over 500. You can't beat a good team again. And then it happens, and it's like okay, can we actually take Miami seriously? No, not really. Okay, cool. And that's what that turned into. Can we take Miami seriously? No? Okay.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on. Because what happens to the Miami Dolphins ultimately is they lose an AFC's title to the Buffalo Bills, who were basically dead
mm-hmm.
halfway through their season.
Yeah.
They were sitting at what, 6-6?
I believe 7-6, I think, yeah. But yeah.
But the Bills refused to lose after that, including against Miami in Week 18. A game where Josh Allen did not play particularly well. You got a couple turnovers on him, and you still lost that football game.
Yeah, Bills only win that one 21-14. The week prior, though, because we brought up Baltimore
already.
That's
right, they lose to the Titans.
No, the week prior, Miami plays Baltimore.
Oh, that's right.
That's a 56-19 loss.
It was the week prior to that.
Yep.
Where they lose to the Titans, then Baltimore, then Buffalo. And it's that December of, oh, we forgot how to play football.
The Jets and Dallas are in there. There's 2 wins there. But yes, it's Tennessee, Jets, Dallas, then Baltimore, Buffalo. But yes, the Tennessee collapse against Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
Jets they beat up on. Dallas was 2 fair weather teams playing each other. Miami ultimately wins it. And then, yeah, it's the demoralizing loss, I'd imagine, against Baltimore, 56-19. And then the 21-14 loss against Buffalo in the final regular season game of the year. Their star really did not last that long, if really at all. And even the brightest they've been, that was 22, is when they play Baltimore. And that's the 6-touchdown game. So that's why I'm making it the 70-point game. It came a year later.
Right.
They were still 11-6. They were, because two at least only played 13 of those games, 14 of those games, he was inactive for a few of them.
That's right. That was the was that the season that he was concussed a couple times?
I believe so, yeah.
Erroneously put back in?
I believe so. Yes, because then they play Buffalo. They do win that game, but then it's the Cincinnati game.
It's the Cincinnati game after that he should mm-hmm. not have, on a short week.
Yep.
Even, that you see him doing that fencing pose, and you're like, oh, he really shouldn't have been in. You need to fire people for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just their star really never rose all that high, and it fell very, very quickly.
It's every time that it's risen, even up to like mid-level, it crashes hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that I could put on the coach. Why are you so good at this time of the year and then not?
Oh, I say that all the time about Zach Taylor. I think it's his fault why they're so horrendous in September.
It's like they're the opposites. They're yin mm-hmm. and yang. Taylor can't get his team to start on time ever. McDaniel can't get his team to close a season ever.
Well, I mean, Derek, it gets cold.
It's yin and yang.
Yeah.
But also explain why Taylor can't get a season started properly.
That is both stunning.
You don't even get a snarky reason for that one. Like the Miami one, oh, it's cold. Like that shouldn't be a real excuse.
Cincinnati, you guys are playing a potentially historically bad Patriots team. You should smoke them. Oh, you lost? What do you mean you lost?
Right.
I mean, the Bengals are a horrendous September team.
Yeah.
Now, they're great in December. They're great to close out a year, which I maybe could argue is also a good sign of a coach.
A little bit.
Is that they're a good closer, but they just...
Can you do both?
Yeah, please.
Can you do both?
But that's where I've mentioned it. I've gained a lot of respect for McDermott of being onions off the bye. I mean, hey, just you know they're going to win.
Hey, Sabres, can you do both?
Can you do both? McDermott's biggest problem has been he runs into the Chiefs and can't get the one seed. That's his biggest problem.
And if the biggest problem of the second most successful team in the regular season, save to the Chiefs, is that you can't get the one seed, well, you know why.
Yeah.
Because I had to say second to the Chiefs. It's not an accident at that point. They're just a problem.
They are the problem.
But Buffalo's a problem for 14 other teams in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Bills are just miraculously showing up here. No, they are a problem for pretty much everybody else.
Yeah.
And even in the regular season, it includes the Chiefs. They are, man, they got to be one of the weirdest teams ever.
Because they are a great team. It's just they got to get through one bugaboo to like officially be graced as a great team. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Weren't able to get to head coach Sean McDermott. Hopefully he starts speaking around noon. For all that coverage, stay online, keep track, Sal Sports, Sal Capaccio on Twitter. He'll keep you covered on all of that. Me and Derek will be back tomorrow to break this all down. Hopefully we'll talk with Sal as well to get some of the comments from McDermott, Josh Allen after practice as well. But coming up after a quick timeout, did have a Stanley Cup final game tomorrow. Sabres Live will help you break all that down. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.